Did you ever wonder why good, godly relationships have conflict? I mean, if I love God and you love God and we love each other, shouldn't we have a relationship free of conflict? Well, unfortunately, the answer is no. But today you'll learn some ways to live in harmony with those around you and how to handle conflict when it arises. Stay with us.
Welcome to this weekend edition of Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Chip's our Bible teacher on this daily discipleship ministry. I'm Dave Drury. And when it comes to relationships, conflict is inevitable, right? No matter how hard we try, with the best of intentions, stuff happens, and sometimes we experience conflict. So how do we respond when it shows up? Well, in this program, Chip continues his series, Relationships Under Pressure, by telling us it begins with a biblical view of relationships and human nature. So let's join him now for his message, How to Resolve Conflicts in Relationships, from Romans chapter 12.
How important is harmony? Let me show you. First of all, the very last night Jesus was on the earth, you know what he prayed about? He didn't pray about strategic planning. He didn't pray about provision for the disciples. The last time ever recorded when Jesus was alive, he's alone with the Father. He's at the Mount of Olives. The other three guys are asleep. This is what he prayed. My prayer is not for them, verse 20 of John 17. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that's us, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Do you see what's at stake? Verse 22, I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. Is that amazing? I in them and you in me, may they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. How important is harmony? It's the strongest prayer in the Bible. According to Jesus, it was the last, most important thing he asked the Father for while he was here. But that's not all of it. Not only Jesus prayed for it, but Scripture commands it. I mean, the New Testament is rippled with command after command after command about our relationships in unity and harmony with one another. Romans 12, 16, live in harmony with one another. It's a command. And then it adds, do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. By the way, the problem with harmony is in that verse too. It's usually our pride. Romans 14, 19, let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. Romans 15, 5 and 6, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus. Why? So that with one heart and mouth you may glorify God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 4, 3, make every effort. How's that sound? Make every effort. Do whatever it takes to do what? Keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Philippians 1, 27, whatever happens, the Apostle Paul writes, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come to see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know. Here's a guy that's on death row, and what's he asking? What's he pleading? What's he commanding? That I may know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel. In chapter 2, he writes, and it's in the clause, in the original language, it means really since, because he raises them up and says, I mean, these are so obvious. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, obviously the answer is, we got tons of it. If any in comfort from his love, if you ever get any comfort from God, oh, you get tons of it. If any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then. In other words, if God has ever done anything for you at any time, deeply in your heart or in your life, then make my joy complete by being, here's our word again, like-minded, having the same love, being in one spirit and purpose. You getting the idea? I mean, this is strong. Unity in the body of Christ is a non-negotiable. You do whatever it takes, as far as it depends on you, to make it right. Why? Jesus prayed for it. Secondly, Scripture commands it. Third, the early church took it literally, radically, and practiced it. And as we see, their practice answered Jesus' prayer, didn't it? In order that the world may know that God sent the Son. See, more than all the great reasoning, more than all the great books, more than all the great philosophy, the greatest apologetic on the face of the earth is believers loving one another in unity, authentically, in harmony, despite ethnic differences, socioeconomic differences, background differences, personality differences. I mean, anybody can get along with people who are like them and agree on everything. There's no testimony there. The power is when the world sees you and sees me interrelating at an authentic level, that the only answer is God is doing something in those people. Now, I've read a number of passages. I tried to bring them hard and fast, and I hope you're feeling a little bit emotionally like the wind is kind of like we're driving with the top down. Because we were. I wanted you to feel the force of Scripture, the force of just, whoa. Man, this isn't like here and there. No cute stories in that introduction. It's just, whew, whew. This matters to God. Now, what do we want to do? I've got all the same struggles you do. The problem isn't understanding how important it is. What's the problem? It's practicing it. So let's do a little research together. And let's find out what causes disharmony in the body of Christ. Now, obviously, there's lots of reasons, but what I thought I would do is I'd pick out about 5 reasons right out of Scripture. I mean, the early church was not like, you know, these people, you know, tiptoeing through the tulips and, oh, Peter, John, good to see you. Oh, it's wonderful. How's the wife, kids? Oh, bless you, brother. You know, I mean, imagine trying to get along with a guy like Peter. I mean, they had personality conflicts, they had struggles, they had theological conflicts. But let me walk you through and give you a brief overview of what causes disharmony or conflict. First one is growth or change that leads to unmet needs. Whenever things change, even good change, it alters the equilibrium in relationships and it forces us to adjust to maintain harmony. Acts chapter 6, verses 1 to 7. It's our first example. And the early church is blowing and going. Man, it's a happening place. It gets so big, so big, so big. The early apostles took servanthood so literally that they were waiting on tables. And they got to be so many hundreds of the widows and needy people that all of a sudden a division broke out in the church. There were some widows who were from a Jewish background, other widows from a Hellenistic background. Well, most of the early church was Jews. The Hellenistic widows were getting a little overlooked. And so people were saying, hey, what's the deal? We're supposed to love one another. What about all this thing Jesus said? And, you know, our widows are not getting fed like your widows. And the early apostles realized, why? Why did this occur because anyone was bad? No. It occurred because the growth was so rapid that it created an equilibrium disorientation so the apostles couldn't handle it under the present paradigm structure. And so you have the first paradigm shift in the New Testament. And they assign 7 new people, get agreement from the people, and they take over the job of distribution of food so the apostles can be committed to the prayer and the word. And then in verse 7 it says, and the Lord added to their number. See, all I'm saying, when you grow personally, it brings about change. That'll cause conflict. That's why moving, having a baby, starting a new job, getting a promotion, all those things, they're positive, aren't they? Their growth, they will create unmet needs in structures and relationships with people. It'll cause conflict. It's not bad, but you need to know it's going to come. Second reason for conflict is theological differences. Honest differences about what is true cause disharmony and demand thoughtful research and dialogue. Acts chapter 15, verses 1 to 15, we have the first kind of theological rhubarb in the church. You have people from a Jewish background. You have the Apostle Paul who's come to Christ. He's ministering to the Gentiles. And he goes on the first missionary journey, and he comes back, and all these people are coming to Christ, and God's doing miracles, and things are really shaking and baking. But there's some people from a Jewish background, and they're called the Judaizers, Christians. And they're saying, you know what, we don't like the way this is going. You have to become a Jew first in order to get to heaven. Now, we all believe in Christ, but they have to keep the law. You have to be circumcised. You have to keep all the temple rites. And the Apostle Paul comes home and says, hey, guys, get a life. That's not what God told me. And he says, beyond that, anybody who's ever kept the law before Christ come, raise your hand. We couldn't do it. Why should we make them try and do it? He said, it's grace, baby. You can get straight to God through Christ. You don't have to become a Jew. Well, man, they went at it. In Acts 15, then you have the Jerusalem Council, and there's research, and there's dialogue, and Peter speaks, and they reason from experience and from the Old Testament scriptures, and they come together, and then there's unity. There's going to be theological differences. Historically in the church, modes of baptism. What does the Lord's Supper really mean? Charismatic versus non-charismatic. Godly people differ on those things. Sometimes we need to understand what are the majors, what does the scripture say, and then on some of those things that aren't as important, come to a position that we understand the scripture says and treat people with tolerance and dignity in the body of Christ. Agree to disagree. Now, we don't violate scripture or doctrine, but you know, they work that through, and on the testimony of what God said, they went forward. Third reason for conflict is philosophical differences. It's like Acts 15 is the conflict resolution chapter of the Bible. And here you have two close, great friends. Even godly people can have differences about the best way to accomplish God's will. And that requires very hard, sometimes painful decisions to resolve the conflict. In this situation, you've got Paul and Barnabas. They've been on a missionary journey together, and they took a young understudy, a guy by the name of Mark. Mark started on the journey. He flaked out. They're going to go on the next journey. Paul is the leader. He's the apostle. He's task-driven. He's highly get-the-task-done oriented. The mission is what matters. Barnabas, what's his middle name? Son of Encouragement. So Barnabas says, hey, Paul, you know, I've been talking to Mark, and he's really going to do better this time. He's a sweet guy. He just kind of had a bad trip. You know, I've been discipling him on the side, doing a little mentoring, and he's doing really good in scripture memory now. We've been memorizing lots of verses on endurance. And I'm kind of adding a little to the story. And Paul says, nope, he's not going. Barnabas says, Paul, you don't understand. We've been together. We're friends. You got to trust me on this one. Paul, philosophical difference. The mission cannot be put in jeopardy by someone that we know has already failed. God gave me the job to reach the Gentiles. That's a baggage that we cannot afford to take. He's not gone. And then a word says that Paul and Barnabas had such a schism. And we get our word for division, or the word for schizophrenic. There's such a parting, and it was harsh. And they had to agree to disagree. Well, who was right and who was wrong? Well, the Bible picks up Paul's journeys and what he did, but it's interesting. Later in Paul's life, he sends a letter back part of the New Testament. He says, send Mark because he's very useful to me. Tell him to bring the parchments. See, Barnabas was doing what God made him to do. There's more than one way to accomplish God's will, but you need to understand those differences. And when you understand them, sometimes you need to understand, you know what? Even among the best of friends, maybe this isn't the right ministry for me to team up with this person anymore. We've come to this level, and maybe for the glory of God, we need to agree again to disagree. Fourth reason for disunity, disharmony in the New Testament is personality differences. Even godly people can rub one another the wrong way. These call for great patience and endurance when the amoral personality traits of another person drive you crazy. It may even require counseling. It did here. Philippians 4, 2 and 3. Two godly ladies. They both love God. They both have been, Paul's right arm in the ministry. And he asked the church and asked the leaders, will you do a little counseling? Will you help these two ladies to learn to get along? They're both godly. They're both used of God. But whatever it is, maybe it's an introvert and an extrovert. Or maybe one of them chewed their ice, you know? I don't know. But for whatever reason, they're both godly people, but you put them in the same room and the spark started to fly. That can happen among godly people. You need to learn to endure, to care, to be forgiving, to put up with some stuff, to be forbearing. But it happens. And by the way, there's nothing wrong too. Sometimes in the body of Christ, everyone gets this idea that just because we're in Christ's body and we know we're committed and we're commanded to love one another, that doesn't mean you're going to like everybody the same. That doesn't mean you're going to always want to be around everyone the same. We've had guys come through, great pastors, godly people. They have great wherewithal. God has used them in the past. And then we meet and talk and we'll go to lunch and try and do something fun. And I'll tell you what, if they don't fit, does it mean God won't use them? Does it mean we're right and they're wrong? Absolutely not. But here's what I'm going to tell you. We got a great team and we're going to get along with one another. And we're not going to bring someone on who has a personality that rubs half the people the wrong way. They're going to be one of us. And you know what? I don't think that's ungodly. I think it's wise. Because that personality, that fit, that background is going to be great for some church somewhere, but not here. Life is too short to spend our energy in this kind of conflict. Final reason is probably the most basic, carnality. Likely the most common of all sources of disunity and disharmony, plain, old-fashioned sin and selfishness are still the primary culprits in relational conflict. The answer always is repentance, confession, and forgiveness, and following God's commands. See, the fact is that the real reason, 1 Corinthians 1, 10 to 13, the whole chapter, 1 Corinthians 3, I've heard among you, brethren, there's actually divisions among you, Paul says, and I believe it because some say I'm of Paul, some say I'm of Peter, some say, And at the root of it was their carnality. Paul writes and says, I'd like to talk to you as mature, but I can't. You are so small-minded. You are so selfish. You're so into the politics of the church. You're so into your own agenda. You're so using the church of God for a platform for your own ego strokes. He says, we are not flat out putting up with that. In fact, one of the strongest words, powerful, strongest statements in all of the New Testament is 1 Corinthians 3, about verses 16 and 17. And it talks about the church there, the you is plural, speaking of the church plural. And basically, it's a warning that if I mess with unity in the church of God, the very hand of God will come down on you. See, this unity stuff is real big to God because a disunified church communicates to the world that Jesus wasn't sent by the Father, that the faith isn't true, and that this is nothing other than a glorified Lions Club, Rotary Club, or Kiwanis group. All wonderful groups, by the way. Not all commissioned to save the world, not all commissioned with the life-saving message of Jesus, fully God, fully man, resurrected. See, we're not a social club. We're an army, we're a family, and we're people with a purpose. And part of that purpose is we must live in harmony with one another.
You're listening to Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram, and Chip will be back in just a minute with his application. Chip's message today is from his series, Relationships Under Pressure, Keeping It Together When the World's Falling Apart. In this series, you'll learn common lies we all tend to believe about ourselves and others, lies that wreck relationships. You'll discover the causes of conflict and get practical help for restoring damaged relationships. If you or someone you know could use a little relationship wisdom, this series is for you. To see more details or to order this set of messages called Relationships Under Pressure, just tap special offers on the app or visit us online at livingontheedge.org. Chip, we're in the midst of our mid-year match. Can you tell us why that's important?
We live with a lot of conflict.
And as we close today's broadcast, I want to probe a little bit about what's behind the conflict. I think as believers, we tend to jump very quickly and think that every conflict is a spiritual one. We tend to assume there's someone's right and someone's wrong. God is on someone's team and he's not on the other team. But we walk through today and we learned, even in Scripture, that disharmony can happen, one, because of growth and unmet needs. There's not a bad person when the early church was exploding, but needs were created that caused conflict. Conflict sometimes tells us, you know what, we need to address some issues. There's not a bad person here. Second, there's theological differences. You know, good people that really love God can take some core passages and interpret them a little differently, not over major issues, but over some minor issues. And you know something? There's not bad people here. We can agree to disagree. We learn there's philosophical differences. You know, you're made and I'm made and others are made with a desire to accomplish certain things. And you have Barnabas who says, I want to care about this John Mark. And you got Paul and says, buddy, you care about him. I'm going to go on with the mission. No one's bad here. Different gifts, different philosophies for what God wanted to accomplish. And then finally, you know, in the church, there's just personality differences. There's certain people that you're not going to quite connect with. They kind of rub you the wrong way. We're called to be tolerant, to bear with one another, not to live in conflict. Now, the real core of conflict.
So if God has been ministering to you through Living on the Edge and you want to get in on supporting the ministry, now would be the perfect time to join the team. Every gift will be doubled thanks to the generosity of a group of ministry partners. To send a gift, you can either call us at 888-333-6003 or go online to livingontheedge.org. And thanks in advance for asking God what he would have you do and then partnering with us, however he leads. Well, now here's Chip with his application for today.
We live with a lot of conflict. And as we close today's broadcast, I want to probe a little bit about what's behind the conflict. I think as believers, we tend to jump very quickly and think that every conflict is a spiritual one. We tend to assume there's someone's right and someone's wrong. God is on someone's team and he's not on the other team. But we walk through today and we learned, even in Scripture, that disharmony can happen, one, because of growth and unmet needs. There's not a bad person when the early church was exploding, but needs were created that caused conflict. Conflict sometimes tells us, you know what, we need to address some issues. There's not a bad person here. Second, there's theological differences. You know, good people that really love God can take some core passages and interpret them a little differently, not over major issues, but over some minor issues. And you know something? There's not bad people here. We can agree to disagree. We learn there's philosophical differences. You know, you're made and I'm made and others are made with a desire to accomplish certain things. And you have Barnabas who says, I want to care about this John Mark. And you got Paul and says, buddy, you care about him. I'm going to go on with the mission. No one's bad here. Different gifts, different philosophies for what God wanted to accomplish. And then finally, you know, in the church, there's just personality differences. There's certain people that you're not going to quite connect with. They kind of rub you the wrong way. We're called to be tolerant, to bear with one another, not to live in conflict. Now, the real core of conflict, the most common one, is sin. And in our next broadcast, we're going to talk about how do you live in harmony with others when carnality or sin is what divides us. But I would just like for you, as you go throughout the rest of your day, think about the people that produce conflict in your world and ask yourself, does it have to be a wrong or right issue? Or maybe you could back off a little bit and realize maybe this is normal. Maybe we're just different. Maybe there's not a bad and good here. Maybe we could live in harmony.
Well, as we wrap up this program, I want to remind you that the Chip Ingram app is a great way to immerse yourself in more biblical truth like you just heard. You can listen to any of Chip's teaching series or dive deeper into God's Word with Chip through daily discipleship. We desire to help Christians really live like Christians. So let me encourage you to download the Chip Ingram app today and allow us to support you in your walk with God. Well, until next time, this is Dave Drewy saying thanks for listening to this weekend edition of Living on the Edge.